All right, good afternoon, everyone. This is Pastor Bill and Pastor Sean. And Bill, I've got an article from Blaze.com. And, you know, in Charlotte right now, just a little ways from us, the Democratic National Convention is happening. This article is posted September 4th, 2012. The Democrats may be getting a fair amount of attention this week, and not only because the political movement is hosting its national convention in Charlotte, North Carolina. Another point of focus has already been the contents, or the lack thereof, present in the 2012 Democratic Party platform. All right, Bill, where do you think the article's going?
Well, I would say we're about to get to a strong contrast between the Democrats and the Republicans, and the Democrats' aversion to God especially seems like that it's directly proportional, or I should say inversely proportional, to their emphasis on the gay movement or gay marriage.
Yeah, the first thing that the document fails to mention is the word Jerusalem. Now, what is the significance, Bill, of failing to mention the word Jerusalem from a political perspective?
Well, it seems like they're trying to take away the sovereignty, this national sovereignty of Israel.
Sure.
And probably become pro-Palestinian in their foreign policy.
Or if not pro-Palestinian, they're going to claim to be neutral.
Okay. All right.
You know, because clearly references to Jerusalem show support that you believe that the nation should be, that Israel should own the land. But we know that Jerusalem is an exceptionally divided city. Mm-hmm. And now, even more shocking revelation, CBN News is reporting that the Democrats have removed mentions of God from the document as well. Now, from the document, we mean the platform. The platform is the articulation of what the political party stands for. This is a departure from the past. In 2008, the platform read, "We need a government that stands up for the hopes, values, and interests of working people and gives everyone willing to work hard the chance to make the most of their God-given potential." With the words "God-given" removed, the 2012 platform sticks to a more secular script. "We gather to reclaim the basic bargain that built the largest middle class and the most prosperous nation on the earth, the simple principle that in America, hard work should pay off, responsibility should be rewarded, and each one of us should be able to go as far as our talent and drive takes us." What's your thoughts on that statement?
It sounds like a... Well, quite frankly, if you didn't have America in there, you would almost think you were reading a translated script from the Nazi Party in the 30s. I mean, it's completely devoid of God. It's quite secular. Obviously, I think I know what they're trying to do is reach out to the atheistic subgroup. Just seems like that if I was a Democrat, I would see the places where I could have the most votes and appeal to them the most.
How do you reconcile that with our Declaration of Independence? You know, think about our Declaration of Independence. The very idea that all are created by God.
Yeah, endowed by the Creator with inalienable rights. So these rights that people want to have, they don't want to acknowledge the giver of those rights.
Where do they come from if there isn't a giver of the rights?
Right. That's exactly the point that C.S. Lewis is making in regards to moral code. Universal moral code, where'd it come from? Where does this thing called rights and moral code come from if we don't have someone who is over everything, who is transcendent?
In the end, the Democratic platform doesn't mention the word God or Lord even one time. In contrast, the GOP platform mentions God 12 times. A simple comparison in the past year's platform shows a disparity. In 2008, the Democrats had only one mention, the aforementioned God-given. But in 2004, God was mentioned 7 times. So the article is 2004, 7, 2008, once, 2012, 0. What's happening to the Democratic Party in America?
They want to appeal to the very overtly non-Republican crowd. The Republican stereotypically is evangelical. He's at least conservative. And at least conservative, and in some cases, libertarian in their ideals. And so you have to appeal to some sort of liberty giver. And so the Democrats are going to go looking for that other crowd. And since Republicans are going after the God crowd, well, Democrats, it's best for them to go after the other crowd. If I was a Democrat, I'd be doing it.
But as CBN's David Brody notes, the Democratic document isn't entirely devoid of religious sentiment. A portion discusses the notion that faith has always been a central part of the American story and it has been a driving force of progress and justice throughout our history. Share that paragraph with the listener, Bill.
Well, it sounds like what we're doing there is we're putting religion... Are you talking about the paragraph below that?
Yes, sir.
Okay, it sounds like what we're doing is we're getting into this is we're putting religion on the same level with ethnic heritage. It's something that makes us all different in this great melting pot. We all bring our ethnic heritage and, oh, by the way, our faith. But let's get into the remainder of the Democratic platform views on faith. We know that our nation, communities, and lives are made vastly stronger and richer by faith and the countless acts of justice and mercy it inspires. Faith-based organizations will always be critical allies in meeting the challenges that face our nation and our world, from domestic and global poverty to climate change and human trafficking. People of faith and religious organizations do amazing work in communities across this country and the world, and we believe in lifting up and valuing that good work and finding ways to support it where possible. We believe in constitutionally sound, evidence-based partnerships with faith-based and other nonprofit organizations to serve those in need and advance our shared interests. There's no conflict between supporting the faith-based institutions and respecting our Constitution, and a full commitment to both principles is essential for the continued flourishing of both faith and country.
All right, so that is what an amazing let's talk out of both sides of our mouth, Bill.
Yeah, yeah. There are times in those two paragraphs where it almost sounds like it is a GOP document. Almost. In several regards, it is absolutely not. It is saying that if you're in a faith-based organization, that is on par with being in the Red Cross. It is on par with being with a soup kitchen. It's on par with being in a do-gooders club. It's on par with being a Mason. It's on par with being in a Shriner Hospital.
Right.
And so, although we value your faith-based, that's really, I almost feel like if I was sitting here reading this and I knew who was writing it, and they were sitting right here, I'd almost feel like they're saying, we'll take you as you are. You're faith-based. Whatever makes your clock tick, we'll take you.
A club.
Yeah.
These clubs make wonderful contributions to society, and we value the contributions that these various clubs make. And your club just happens to meet on Sundays, and it has a label of church. I mean, that's essentially the idea here.
Right.
And that no club is right, and no club is wrong, and all clubs are equal.
Yeah, and I can't, in a clear conscience, as the Baptist that I am, cannot demand that even Republicans march to our beat. I can say biblically, God is not Republican, he's not Democrat, he's not Libertarian, but I can say biblically, God is not a Republican. Okay, he doesn't make a good Republican. So I can't sit here and say the Republicans, on the other hand, should say that Bible-believing, independent, fundamental, Bible-preaching churches, you know, that immerse in water after salvation. I can't demand that much specificity in a land where we pride soul liberty, let alone priesthood of the believer, but soul liberty before God and the Creator. We certainly don't want to become Geneva in our stance, or theocratic, and pushing people to this body of faith.
All right, tell the listener why you mentioned Geneva.
Well, in Geneva, what you had was just a non-Catholic church state. You had a church state. Luther and John Calvin were not anti-church state. They were still about subverting the consciences of the citizens. You still had to abide and affirm to a particular body of faith or adherence or affirmations, laws to the,
right.
That were faith specific. We're Baptists.
Well, Bill, Massachusetts Bay Colony was the same thing, right?
Congregationalists. Massachusetts Bay Colony was primarily Congregationalists, and then you had even south more than that, the Anglicans. So you had these people that were not Catholic, but were still state church. So I'm not demanding, in the Bill Sturmness of me, I'm not demanding that people become just like us, but I am expecting that people who got their independence by acknowledging the God who gives it, I am expecting them to raise God above a soup kitchen.
Now, Bill, how does a Christian remain registered as a Democrat? I mean, here's the platform. No God in the platform in 2012. Full support of gay marriage in 2012, full support of abortion in 2012. How does a Bible-believing, gospel-centered Christian remain a registered Democrat? Isn't that somehow a pretty significant conflict of interest?
I'm not sure you mentioned the overt pro-choiceness of, you know...
Well, you've got one party that's saying we want to stop funding Planned Parenthood, and you got another party that says we're okay with $1 million a day of federal money going to Planned Parenthood.
Right.
So if I am a Christian, it seems to me, Bill, that if I cannot register as a Republican in good conscience, then I must register as an independent.
Sure. Sure.
I don't understand how we have pastors and church members of Bible churches across the United States who are remaining registered as a Democrat.
Well, it is my opinion that people vote with their emotions. They are not Bible-based in their paradigm of politics or economics. They are, how would I be better suited as in my comfort if this president XYZ is voted into office? They're not thinking, how is God glorified? In other words, they compartmentalize. They do. They're the same reason that you can go to work on Monday and tell nasty jokes. It's because the Bible doesn't frame your worldview 7 days a week. And so on voting day, it doesn't either. And I heard today that passing on debt is nothing more than intergenerational theft. And that's what we're doing, is we're just committing intergenerational theft through our passing on of a national debt of now $16 trillion. And so as it seems like maybe you have said, that how can you know that you're owing people this amount of money and with a clear conscience say, I'm voting that way again?
And just keep spending it.
Right. Right. I can't fathom being a parent that way. I just can't. I'm making a choice to get siding replaced, caulked, and painted versus painting the whole house because I can afford one and I can't afford the other. I'm telling my son, you're not allowed to get X, Y, and Z because you don't have the money until report card time.
Don't have the money until the day
until
he earns the grade.
That's right. And so to think that I don't have anyone who's willing to look at a special interest group and say, I'm sorry, I probably have a 2-year term going here, but you're out of luck. I'm not voting your way. It's nothing personal. It's just we don't have the money, and I don't want to rob from your great-grandkids. You know? We need some people that are willing to say, I'm going to be a 2-year guy up in Washington at the House. I'm going to be a one-term, 6-year Senate dude up at the chambers in Washington, D.C. We need someone who's willing to say, I'm going to be a one-termer because I'm going to go...
And make
just
a difference?
I'm just going to tell one of the 6,000 special interest group in Washington, D.C., I'm sorry, no.
Hmm. Folks, you've got to pay attention to this stuff. There's no way in the world that you can just stick your head in the sand and pretend that you don't know that the party that you're registered to has removed God, is pro-abortion to the nth degree, is pro-gay marriage beyond measure, and somehow because grandpappy and his grandpappy and our family's always been Democrats, that we're going to remain this way. Now, while you think this is partisan, I am not being partisan. My goal is to admonish you to register independent. Hmm. That gives you the freedom, Bill, to vote either direction on all elections. You can say, man, now there's a good Democrat, and he is a pro-life Democrat, and he's... So I'm going to vote for him.
But you're talking about marrying up with a party that has a clear stance that is anti-God. That's what we're talking about.
Right now.
Right.
And it's not getting any better. See, we showed you 2004, 2008, 2012. We can just imagine what 2016 is going to be.
Right.
I mean, how they would define God, there is no God. You can have whatever God you want, Bill, and another Democrat can have their God, and please don't impose your God upon me and my God upon that. That's not what we have in America.
Right.
No matter what you think about our founding fathers, they all had a view of one God who created them.
Right. And the non-establishment clause was written within that framework. It wasn't written in an atheistic framework or in a pantheistic framework or in a framework that said you can even have the right to not believe in God. That's absurd. Absurd. Who would in their right mind say that one of the framers of the Declaration of Independence or of the Constitution was an atheist who was saying, you know what, you don't even have to believe in God, and you can still expect the benefits, you can still expect God to, or you can still expect blessing on a national level. We have become so, what's the term we're looking for? Might as well throw it out there, dispensational. We have become so non-Old Testament that we don't apply any of the national blessing promises to America, and we expect God to bless us because we've been around 240 years, and has God brought judgment to America? Well, that is such a small blink of the eye in the timeline for God. Yeah, it's right around the corner, you know.
Well, thanks for listening. Make a choice. See how you're registered. Pray about what God would have you do with regard to how am I registered as a voter. Have a great day.
So you have two cameras, or has it got a close and a strange?
I don't know.
It's obviously two angles.